If you look at history, think about the eugenics movement, the technological movement, you know, sort of like the techno-futurists, the people who were transhumanists. I mean, when you add all of this together, this is very scary. When you look at some of the tech billionaires and what their agenda is and what their beliefs and values are, it's deeply concerning and scary. They don't have human life at the top. They have not only profit, but they have their own warped vision of a future that for me is very dystopian. I think that's the great danger that we're seeing right now.
Welcome to part two of my interview with Chris Hallaly, and his organization, DD Geopolitics, is very popular on X, and he's a very bright person who has really, I think, insightful analysis of what's happening in our world. We already talked in part one of this interview, and if you missed that, it's at brightvideos.com. Here in part two, we're going to talk about some economic issues with robotics and AI replacement of human jobs in addition to other things. So welcome back to the show, Mr. Hallaly. It's great to have you back.
And thank you very much.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned in your introduction in part one of some communist teachings, and whenever I talk to Americans about communism, they say, well, communism doesn't work. We have free markets. And then I have to laugh at them. We don't have free markets. We have rigged markets. And there has never been a better example of the rigging of markets than what we have right now. Even our president, I think, is rigging markets with his tweets, causing commodities prices to go up or down, or oil prices to go up or down. Can you talk to us about what are the problems with our so-called free market economy? It's really more of an oligarchy, or how would you describe it?
Certainly, I think that I think that the capitalist system as we have it now, you're right that this is not a full free market, and it really never has been. But there has been always a tendency towards monopolization. It was a problem in the earlier part of American history, especially after the Civil War period, where you had the big robber barons that consolidated a lot of the industries under their control. People will think of the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, you name it. There's so many of them, the Vanderbilts. When you analyze it that, then we had a part of US history where we had, for example, the antitrust movement. We have to break these big trusts. You have to break these big corporations. There have to be some mechanisms in place from the government level to ensure fair competition on the market. Well, of course, we saw over time there was an erosion of that. And once again, we're back at this place where, for example, I sometimes highlight this for my students. You have all of these products in the supermarket, and it ends up being only 11 major companies or 10 major companies that actually own amongst themselves all of these different products. So people assume that there are all of these different companies, when in reality, there are massive monopolies, tech monopolies, agriculture monopolies, pharmaceutical monopolies, you name it, that you have these big. So we don't actually have free and fair. What we end up having is subsidies and preferential treatment for some of these major companies. And that goes at the government level as well. Think about the people around Trump who have given campaign money, and he'll bring in Boeing and Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all these companies to help, finance the war effort. He'll bring in the pharmaceutical companies, and especially we saw that in the first Trump administration with the onset of the pandemic, that many were very concerned about Operation Warp Speed and all these big pharma. So in a sense, what people have to understand is free market in the classical sense might actually work, but there's never been an attempt to do that because the tendency is always towards monopolization. If I get more money, why not buy out my competitors? Why not buy out the mom and pop shop if I'm Walmart, or put them out of business? They're my competition. So unless we have mechanisms to prevent that or to protect that or to really allow for free market, it's not possible at this point for that to even happen.
Yeah. Well said. What the U.S. government did to Standard Oil decades ago would never happen today. Even what the FTC did to Microsoft in the 1990s would never even be attempted today. And in my opinion, if any company should be subject to a regulatory breakup, it would be Google because of their extreme domination in search and other products. But it's even worse, I think, than what you described, because you mentioned Big Pharma, that's a great example, but Trump has gone into business with Big Pharma, with Trump RX. So this is something, obviously this is not a free market economy when the president of the United States, licenses his name to go into business with an industry that he's supposed to be, well, at least through the executive branch, supposed to be regulating big pharma. Instead, he's saying that it's a success because he's partnered with them to lower the prices of things like weight loss injections, which is actually only spreading the widespread use of these drugs that I would argue have some very serious side effects, including cancer and blindness. And so we have a president that's making money off of the proliferation of drugs that have a very dangerous side effect profile. To me, that doesn't look like a free market situation. That looks like corruption to me. Well, what do you say?
100%. I mean, we had a president who came in with this sort of, with RFK Jr., he brought him in, they had the Make America Healthy Again, right? The MAHA movement. I haven't seen any of that really play out.
No.
If we're going to do that, we got to break up not only the big pharma monopolies that exist, but also big ag. We haven't seen really any push on that. The subsidies are still there. The money is still flowing to many of these things. And as you rightfully point out, the Trump brand going into pharmaceuticals. I mean, I personally am very skeptical of big pharma.
Me always too. Have been. Yes.
Always have been. And I don't know how anyone can put their trust in big pharma when we've seen over the history what pharmaceutical companies have done to human beings, not only testing on them, not only experimenting, but also the crazy viruses, diseases, pathogens that they've created and cooked up so that they could create an antidote or whatever they could do to make even more money. I mean, this is the cycle.
Yes.
This is the cycle of money that they want ultimately. So I think that it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. In fact, American food, the consumption by American people of American products is so unhealthy. It's unbelievable. Some of this stuff is outright banned in other countries. Think about the dyes, the preservatives, the additives, all of that. So when you compound that, so you create a health epidemic with people getting obese, people having all sorts of ailments, all sorts of absolutely preventable issues. You put a burden on the healthcare system, which allows you then to have the insurance companies make a fortune. Then you bring in big pharma, which is able to then give you Ozempic or whatever it might be as a sort of remedy for that. All of this is artificial. All of this has been created. Our ancestors didn't have these issues because they had good food, clean food, healthy food. And now you've created this cycle of dependency, and you've created an industry that actually is a combination of multiple industrial outputs together to create big money. I mean,
yeah,
why?
It's also part of, I think, the dumbing down of the American people. And you know, you don't know me, but this is my smoothie. This is what I drink every day. This has turmeric. This has sulforaphane from broccoli sprouts. Of course, you know, I run a food science laboratory, mass spec lab, and you know, I have an encyclopedia of knowledge about these kinds of things. So I'm drinking anti-cancer, neuroprotective, you know, substances every single day. But the typical American thinks that it's healthy to order a salad at McDonald's next to a Big Mac. And so we have this mass diseasification of America. And unfortunately, there are cognitive effects of that. The average functional IQ, I would argue, of an American adult today is much lower than it was in the 1970s. And I don't mean to dominate here, but this actually leads me, this is a segue to what I wanted to ask you about, which is about the rise of AI, which is the automation of machine cognition to replace partially some of the human cognition roles, such as answering customer service emails or customer service phone calls, which is now well automated. It seems to me, you know, I mean, call me a conspiracy theorist, but it seems odd to me that this engineered global famine that we talked about in episode one of our interview is happening right at the same time that it's kind of convenient for these powers, the powerful corporations, to get people out of the way and replace them with machines. What do you make of that?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at history, think about the eugenics movement, the technological movement, you know, sort of like the techno-futurists, the people who were transhumanists. I mean, when you add all of this together, this is very scary. When you look at some of the tech billionaires and what their agenda is and what their beliefs and values are, it's deeply concerning and scary. They don't have human life at the top. They have not only profit, but they have their own warped vision of a future that for me is very dystopian. It's not utopian. It's not humans living a fulfilling life. It is much more a techno-feudal future. I think that's the great danger that we're seeing right now. And for me, Absolutely. I think that technology can be good. It can be harnessed for good. But I think that it's being harnessed right now, number one, to create a surplus humanity, a surplus population that's going to be relegated to ghettos and, you know, favelas and slums and basically just kind of cordoned off. And what are we going to do? We're going to increase police militarization. We've already seen that over the course of the past decades. Very scary stuff. The militarization of the police. And so you're going to see more violence on our streets. You're going to see more drug addiction, more despair, more crimes of despair. And it's not a flourishing. In fact, it's a flourishing for an elite few at the expense of the many. So I honestly believe that all of these wars, the artificial famines we're seeing, the artificial scarcity we're seeing, plus these sort of, you know, transhumanists in these kinds of positions. And really, if you add in even the Epstein dimension, which is even darker and scarier, I think, when you add in all of that, you see that these people are going to plunder the earth for themselves at the expense of the majority of humanity, which they don't even need anymore because they're going to automate things. And I would add, AI doesn't only do the technical aspect of production and things like that, or maybe, for example, using it for answering or writing papers and answering questions, but it's used for surveillance. We are in sort of the Minority Report phase of our existence. We're getting into a part of our existence where all of these technical goods, and that's why I don't use AI, I don't use any of this, you know, call function, you know, speaking to some, you know, whatever it might be, some assistant, technical assistant to open my lights or things like that, because all of that is regulated and controlled by entities that use that to strengthen their power, to strengthen surveillance. We have to be very careful about this. I mean, we're at the precipice of a situation where it's going to be even scarier than 1984 in Animal Farm, I feel.
Yeah, I don't have any automation or surveillance devices installed in my home or my car or any such thing. However, I am an AI developer, and I build AI platforms that share open source knowledge with humanity. For example, one of my platforms, brightlearn.ai, we've published 50,000 free books that can be downloaded open source. And 200 of them are audiobooks now that people can download. One of them is about hydrocarbons in the Middle East, by the way. So I take an educational approach to using AI, but that's very rare. Mostly the AI giants want to surveil, like you said. They want to control and dominate, and they want to weaponize it, right? Especially in the Pentagon. They want to use AI as weapon systems. But let me ask you about universal basic income, because it seems to me that if you destroy the world's industrial backbone, which is what's happening in the Middle East, and if you destroy the energy backbone and you create scarcity of both energy and food, you mentioned fertilizers in part one of our interview, then what you do is you end up having a very easy way to corral people into systems of control, such as a CBDC or a UBI, universal basic income, or digital food stamps. And then you can control what they eat, how much they eat. You can surveil them. You can limit their use of the wallet, et cetera. And at that point, you've got a captive, enslaved population that a madman like Trump, let's say, could just decide to starve to death or something along those lines. It seems to me we're headed into one of the darkest eras of history here if we don't turn this thing around.
I agree with you 100%. I at first was interested and I delved into UBI back when it was more prominent, I think about a decade ago or so, especially, for example, after Occupy Wall Street, people were interested in it. I remember during the Bernie campaign in 2016, there was some interest in this kind of topics. But in actuality, it has these negative effects that you rightfully point out, which is that it cements control over people, because then people are beholden to whether it be a state or some corporate entity that is giving out this basic income that then can control, for example, with digital food stamps, as you point out, what you're eating, what you're consuming, how much of it. You can then kind of, you know, do the, when you were talking about Israelification, when they did in Gaza, they did the caloric intake for every person,
exactly.
And they basically allowed only a certain supply of food in at the base level of caloric intake. This is basically, I mean, this is satanic level of harm to humanity. So when you're analyzing that, that does not allow for human flourishing. That does not allow for people to really live their best quality of life. What it does is it makes them slaves. It makes them slaves to a system.
Yes.
So I am not in favor of any of this stuff. I'm sure you and you and your audience are not in favor of any of this stuff.
Correct.
This is very dangerous. This is a dangerous path. I would also argue that the digitalization of all of our currency is also very dangerous, because right now we're seeing some very prominent people that I'm friends with. I know you had Larry Johnson on. He's a good friend of mine. Just had him on the show a few days ago. But a lot of people are getting repressed in terms of their bank accounts, their transactions. For example, people are being pulled off of Patreon. People are being demonetized, deplatformed for going outside of the orthodoxy of, for example, what the US and Israel want. That is very, very dangerous. That cannot be tolerated. I'm a free speech absolutist. I don't mind if you disagree with me. I want that. I love it. I hope we can have robust debates. But when people start to constrict people's free speech and then they take away their stuff because there's more surveillance and everything is controlled digitally and you can take away their bank accounts, now they can't pay their rent, they can't pay their mortgages, this is very scary.
Well, I've encapsulated this concept that you've just eloquently described. I said that everything that the U.S. has done to Russia economically through sanctions and restrictions, the U.S. government also plans to do to the American people. In addition, everything that Israel has done to Gaza, I believe that eventually a regime in the United States also plans to do to the American people. And when we saw then Trump unleashing ICE agents on the streets of Minneapolis, who were, let's just be honest, executing Americans on site, completely outside the rule of law, right? That's when I knew what was coming. And if there is any kind of a protest uprising in America, I could literally see President Trump and Pete Hegseth in another drunken moment declaring that we have to send A-10 warthogs to take down the protesters in San Francisco or wherever. That's no longer a crazy idea. That seems actually aligned with the way these people function. And obviously, I'm very alarmed by this.
Absolutely. And actually, I want to say here, I remember, for example, when January 6th happened, I remember when some of these uprisings happened in different episodes, especially in our recent history. I am not opposed to people, going out there and fighting for their rights. I support it. What I do know is that at every stage, they're really a uniparty. This Democrat-Republican thing, it's all baloney, in my opinion.
It is.
It's a uniparty of war and of big industries. And all of this, heinous stuff that we're seeing, it was really the Epstein class. When you're seeing what they end up doing, they end up picking and choosing their battles. But really what they're doing is they're cementing further control, further surveillance, further militarization, the abrogation of our constitutional freedoms and rights. That's the big danger. You said in the first episode that the big danger is that we don't look like the U.S., that fought in 1776, and those big debates between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists that gave us this amazing Constitution that's endured for 250 years, they want to destroy that. They don't care about the Constitution. They're not interested. I mean, I studied the law. They're not interested in the Constitution and our legal procedures and our legal precedent and common law and our great tradition that goes back to the Magna Carta. They want to destroy it all. They want to destroy it all because they want the rule from above. They want to rule whatever they want and their cronies want. That's the big fear that I have, that all of these freedoms that have been enshrined for so long, they're slowly getting eroded. And we remember the famous quote from Benjamin Franklin, those who give up a little bit of liberty for security deserve neither liberty nor security. That's the sad part. In the post 9/11 world, in the Patriot Act and everything that's come after, Americans, whether they know it or not, are giving up more and more of those constitutional liberties and rights that have been part of their heritage and that have been enshrined and protected them for so long. They're giving that up for more security, quote unquote. But that's not security. It's greater control. That's the big fear that I have. And I think that they're weaponizing both sides and all of these different sort of, this woke right, woke left, whatever they're trying to do. They're trying to make enemies within so they can further do this. I mean, just look at what Laura Loomer and some of these type of people are doing, for example, against Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson. It's abhorrent. This
Absolutely.
Kind of behavior. She's serving as a foreign agent, but they're trying to destroy America from within. We shouldn't tolerate it one bit.
Yeah, she's, in my view, a total sociopath, lunatic. But there are quite a few people like that. I would add Mark Levin to that class as well, and Ben Shapiro for that matter. But we still have just a few minutes left, and I want to remind our audience that your show on YouTube is called The Chris Halali Show. and they can find you here. Here's how you spell Helali, H-E-L-A-L-I. And then also DD Geopolitics is the main channel on X. And here's the website of ddgeopolitics.com. I encourage you to follow that channel. But Chris, this conversation brings us to the issue of human labor being replaced by automated machine labor in the coming years. Now, I don't believe that robots are going to take over next year. They're just not there yet. Autonomous robotic behavior is extremely complex. It's going to take a few years, but it is coming. When that happens, the entire history of our civilization was built on both human labor and human cognition, those two things. And this is what gave purpose to many people's lives, innovation and building and creating, and it gives you purpose. And if that is taken away from humanity, then not only do the Epstein class then probably decide they just don't need 8 billion humans any longer, but for the ones who are still here, it takes away so much of what gave them purpose in life, at least in our culture. What are your thoughts on not just AI cognition for desk jobs, but then AI robotics replacing human labor in the coming years?
I think it's very possible. I think it's coming. Regardless, we're already seeing, for example, AI and robotics replacing in a variety of domains, especially in transportation, in production lines, especially on factory floors. That classic assembly line is looking a lot different now with robotic arms putting together various components and pieces of cars, tractors, different types and different pieces of equipment. So certainly we're seeing automation over time. As you rightfully point out, it's going to be gradual. But eventually, once you lose 100,000 human jobs, 200,000 human jobs, 500,000 human jobs, 1 million, you have to ask, what are those people going to do? There can only be so many jobs, for example, to repair robotic equipment. There can only be so many jobs to be technical, advisors or technicians or computer programmers or computer engineers, electrical engineers, to do this kind of work on the backside. And I'm sure that eventually they're going to make robots to repair robots. So when you unpack all of that, the human population is continuing to increase. What are all these people going to do? And you have to imagine, if people are idle, remember the classic quote from our grandparents, idle hands do the devil's work. If you have people who are idle, who don't have good paying jobs, who aren't afforded privileges, who aren't afforded any good quality of life, what are they supposed to do? Will they resort to violence? Will they resort to, crimes of despair? Are we going to see more sort of social breakdown with this technology? Is this technology going to be sort of, boxed in and protected by, basically a militarized police force or a national guard? And then everybody is kind of, in the slums, like I said before, sort of the ghettoization of the world. That's what I really fear. I agree that it won't come quickly, but the trajectory that we're on cannot be disputed. We're already seeing, for example, not only in AI, for example, on the computers. I have been to the battle zone now of the special military operation for 2 years now. I've seen the drones on the battlefield. I've heard them screeching over me, the alarms going off as these drones are coming in. This war between Russia and Ukraine has become a drone war. It's become a technical war. So when you're looking at that, that's the future. That's what people don't understand. That's the future of what we're up against. We're up against a world where drones will be doing a lot of this work, whether it's in the industry or in fighting, and we're all going to be at the mercy of it. So that's why the front line doesn't move that fast, because you have a drone for every person. Actually, you have multiple drones per person just flying in and trying to hunt them down. We didn't have that before. War before, people had their sabers or their muskets or their guns, and they went in head to head with each other. Now, drones go in head to head, and you have very few humans on the front that can actually move because there's so many drones above. That's the future, and that's the dystopian future that we're headed towards.
And unfortunately, only one tech company in America, Anthropic, said to the Pentagon that you can't use our technology for surveillance or for AI weaponization. All the other companies, Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, sure, build weapons, even Elon Musk. All right, we're almost out of time. So in the last minute or so, given everything that we've talked about here, Chris, and I want to thank you for your vast depth of knowledge on all of this, what should our viewers be doing action-wise in their own lives to prepare for what's coming?
Listen, the most important thing in my perspective is we need to come together. We need to build strong and resilient communities. We need to bridge all of these different divides and gaps that have been artificially created from above by this Epstein class. And we need to know that our neighbors have, we can have each other's backs, because really we only have each other. Up against this elite, we only have each other. Who else do we have? We're waiting for the Messiah. We're waiting for the second coming. It's not happening yet. We have each other now. You know, when people kind of wonder, you know, are we waiting for a hero? Look in the mirror. You are who you've been waiting for. So we have that power. And that power is really, especially in the US, that's the American spirit coming together. We remember these small town halls, these town meetings, people coming together on the commons and that kind of village square. We need to do that across the nation. We need to take back the reins. We need to stop all of the stuff that's going on. This is a train that's running off course and it's bringing us all down with it. So we need to definitely get together, work, talk to your neighbors, talk to people. I know a lot of these topics are uncomfortable. I remember growing up in the US, my family would only talk about politics and religion, but outside of the home, they said that, you know, average Americans don't like to talk about these topics. Talk about these topics, be open, share the resources, your channel, my channel, any news that you can. Just make people more involved and active, because this is the future. This is the future of your lives, your kids, your grandchildren, and that we really have to take control of that. Only then can we really transform the situation. That's what our ancestors did. That's what the American patriots and the framers did. They all got together all the time, writing pamphlets, sharing things, common sense, you name it. That's what they were doing. They were very involved in their lives with politics and with, you know, the community. We need to do the same. Don't be complacent. Everybody get involved, do as much as you can, and hopefully we can stop this train from going over the abyss.
Well said, well said. I love it. I guess today we can all be Thomas Paine, especially with the digital sharing that's available to us. So thank you so much, Chris Hulali. It's been a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime, and I wish you the best. I hope we all make it through this together as compassionate human beings. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right, take care. And there you go, folks. Chris Hulali, just what an extraordinary mind. And I mean, follow his channel. You can tell he's got a lot of common sense, you know, to quote Thomas Paine again, about what's happening in our world. If you missed part one of this interview, you can find it at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams here of brightvideos.com, the founder. I built the whole site with AI agents. There we go. But we have to use technology in a pro-human fashion. Otherwise, all is lost. Thank you for watching today, and take care, everybody. We now have vitamin D3 plus K2 plus Aquaman, which is a seaweed calcium, available at healthrangerstore.com. Here, I've got it up on my side here. This is the Groovy Bee brand that we have, which is our in-house brand, healthrangerstore.com. Again, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman. That's the brand of the seaweed calcium in a capsule format. Of course, it's laboratory tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and so much more. And it's certified ingredients, of course. And, you know, everything that we build for you in terms of a product is meticulously sourced. And one of the most difficult products to source is actually vitamin D3. It's extremely difficult because it turns out in the supply chain, almost all vitamin D has a bunch of sort of unnamed ingredients in it. And that's what our sourcing people found after a couple of years of trying to source a clean version of vitamin D3 that we finally found and nailed and put it in the formula and did all the lab testing and certification. So now it's available. So this synergistic combination, if you think about natural bone support, for example, or you think about the fact that so many people may not have sufficient levels of vitamin D for just optimal health and immune support and, you know, many other reasons to have vitamin D levels, this product can help you supplement that. And so it's available now, healthrangerstore.com, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman, 60 capsules available, shipping right now while supplies last. And in this environment where global supply chains are getting wrecked, you know, if this is something you want, get it now while we have supplies, because it's becoming more difficult and more expensive to source literally everything at this point. So anyway, thank you for your support. You can also find many other products, of course, hundreds of different products at healthrangerstore.com, including storable food. And right here we have our organic powdered chicken bone broth in a number 10 can, our turmeric root powder, and so much more. We've got so many amazing products for you to choose from, including tinctures, superfoods, storable foods, as well as freeze-dried fruits and vegetables in sealed number 10 cans. That's great for long-term storage. Plus, we have iodine, and that's a product that's moving very quickly because of concerns about, you know, global nuclear war, unfortunately. But you can find all of this. It's all laboratory tested. It's all certified. It's all meticulously sourced at healthrangerstore.com. And yeah, there we go. That's what the vitamin D3 looks like there. Thank you for supporting us, because we need your support in order to fund our platform. And so we can keep bringing you amazing interviews and content and free AI tools for knowledge and so much more. So thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for healthrangerstore.com.